Bush asked me if how I enjoyed yesterday's men's fitness workout thing, and I told him about the crunches I did, you know, the up and down, you know, two sets on my pillow. Had a couple of sets in there, but that is something that has started. Just a little quick plug for that. 7 o'clock, I believe, on Saturday mornings. I know it's been in the announcements as well, but it's a great opportunity, and I'm sure our wives will appreciate that as well. Let's get started with today's class with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for guiding us through this week. We thank you for allowing us to congregate together to study another portion of your word. Lord, we pray that your word will be presented in a way that we will have a greater understanding of your will, that we will have a greater understanding of the grace that you have given, and that we will strive to accept that grace and also share that with others as well. Be with every teacher, every student. Open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have in store for us. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So as just way of a review from last week, we were looking at anger with grace. And, you know, we look at that idea and it's like, how can you possibly have anger with grace? And we saw some examples of Jonah, the parable of the prodigal son, specifically the older brother. We looked at the laborers in the vineyard, as well as the Pharisee and the publican, and how when we have a distorted view of grace, or we feel that that grace is something that we can earn, it can be very difficult to fully grasp it and accept it with gladness. But rather, when we see that grace displayed, as we saw again with Jonah and the older son especially, there was some resentment or some anger that was there because they fully didn't recognize the grace of God. And we looked at this term opportunity hoarding, and the concept where the control of resources define a number of ways that allow certain groups to exclude others from access to said resources or benefits accruing to them. In other words, it assures those who have been advantaged or have a leg up, make sure to keep it that way. And what we have to be careful of as Christians is that we don't fall into that trap of being spiritual opportunity hoarders. In other words, we recognize the gift of grace that we have received, and rather than going out and sharing it, we want to be the only ones to have it. You know, and that's not the approach that God wants us to take, but to freely share that with others. We looked at some examples of how that could actually occur. Looking at another soul and thought we wouldn't speak with them because they are so horrible. One person mentioned or reiterated what Larry had spoken a few weeks ago about Jeffrey Dahmer and the idea of approaching him and how that has in some ways caused some issues within the church. Looking at newer members and feeling that they shouldn't be teaching or doing any other type of work in the church if we haven't been. Like there's the hierarchy of work there that has to be done and they have to follow that hierarchy. These are just some examples, not saying these are occurring, but some things that we need to watch out for, you know, as we consider being a spiritual opportunity hoarder. You know, or looking at members who have had difficulties in life from their marriage or drugs or their work or any kind of sinful behavior and seeing them as less spiritual. Again, these are just signs or examples, hypotheticals, that we need to look at as we consider ourselves as possible spiritual opportunity hoarders. So we kind of ended the class with the warning, the good news, and the opportunity. Behaviors can often show that Christians may fall into the trappings of spiritual opportunity hoarders. We see some of those examples last week. But the good news, and the one we always want to take with us, is God's grace is free to all and complete. It puts us on even ground, and that should be celebrated, Galatians 3:26-28. In other words, don't hate, celebrate, right? And then, of course, the opportunity that we have for this past week, hopefully we all took advantage of it, presenting this opportunity to someone who we may have previously avoided and kept away the opportunity to receive that grace of God. So with every class, with every message, whether it's coming from the pulpit or any of the classrooms, hopefully we're taking something and we're actually using it in a way that is glorifying God, that we don't walk away and say, you know, that was a pretty good class, or that was, you know, here's what I got from it, but then taking what you receive and then doing something with it. So that brings us to today's class, Growing in Grace. And, you know, I always like to start with that question. So the question I have to start the class is, in what area in life do you feel you've grown the most? Think about some different areas in your life and give us some feedback on where you think you've grown the most. I'll start off just to give you a little bit of an example. Today, I've been blessed to celebrate my 23rd anniversary. My wife and I have been married 23 years, and it's interesting because I said to her, you know, I'm 46 years old, we've been married 23 years, so we have literally been married half of our lives. I'll say half of my life, you know, because everybody knows she's only 29. So I've been married as long as I have not been. And, you know, that's one area I feel that even though I loved her and said, you know, I want to be with her for the rest of my life, that very first day, in those 23 years, we've grown even closer. So that's one area I know that in my life, you know, I've grown, and, you know, as life has continued on. Can you think of any areas in your life where you feel you've grown the most? Yes, sir. In forgiveness, okay? So one area, at one time in your life, that was a little bit more difficult. Someone does something to you, you kind of have that resentment toward them. But as you've grown, you know, you practice forgiveness more as it goes on. Thank you. Good example. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Patience. And that requires some growth. We're not just given patience. You know, it's funny, sometimes we will ask God for things, and when he gives it to us, we're a little surprised that we have it. You know, or we need to be careful about what we ask him. You know, God, give me more patience. Well, God may put you in some situations where you're going to have to practice what he's given you. And sometimes that's not very easy. Anything else? Anything else we've kind of learned? I know for those of you who have older kids, you may remember those times when they were younger or before you had them, and you would look at others who had kids and say, when I become a parent, you'll never see me doing that. I'm never going to get mad at my child. I'll never raise my voice at my child. You know, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be their best friend. And we're going to do, and then you had them, right? And we learned how to grow as parents, didn't we? So, you know, when we think about those things in life where we were at one point and our mindset, you know, this morning my daughter, she walked out of her room and we had this picture of one that she had drawn when she had to be like 5 or 6 years old. And she walked by and she looked at it and said, why is this picture still up? I said, because it's cute. You know, you drew this picture. She's like, but what was I thinking? Like, why did I make these lines this way? Now, of course, after going through a year of, you know, the School of the Arts, she's looking at all these things from a different perspective and saying, what made me think of that? But we all kind of had those moments, right, where we look back and say, what was I thinking when I did this, when I said this, when I was thinking this at that time? So there's some growth that we see in our life. And so the question that we want to ask is, what areas do we feel we've grown the most? And specifically, what areas as a Christian do we feel we've grown the most? And how did we grow? You mentioned patience. You mentioned forgiveness. Anything else as a Christian? Do you feel you've grown? And if so, how did you feel you accomplished that? How did you grow? Yes, sir. He's reading from 1 Peter 3 and 7. So he kind of piggybacked a little bit off of what Emmett's saying, is patience as a husband and learning how God sees them and then trying to match what he sees God wanting in their relationship. You know, I remember our first year, our first anniversary, waking up and like, you know, almost like Christmas, right? What am I going to get on our anniversary? Well, of course, this morning, I was the first one out of bed to run out and get some coffee and a chocolate croissant for my wife. You know, there's a little growth that took place there between what am I going to get versus how can I, you know, serve and be pleasing to my wife. So there's growth there. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share how they've grown as a Christian? And what did it take to get to that point? You know, it's interesting he mentions that too, because, and I see you, Neil, you notice how he was saying he was looking at himself and trying to figure out where he was and working through this. But as he got older, as he matured more in Christ, he started looking not at himself, but Christ. He matured by looking less at himself. I appreciate that comment, Neil. Excellent point. It is. It takes a little bit of growth to get to that point. Yes, sir. And for those who didn't hear, that's an excellent point. He said he heard from one of our brothers in the body, you know, you have to think about winning souls, not winning arguments. And once you kind of get to that point and you start looking at your discussions, not as, you know, a conquering thing. I'm right. The Bible's right and you're wrong. But how am I going to bring that person to him, to Christ? The focus changes. And as the focus changes, as we mature, our focus will change. Okay. The reason why I want to ask you that as we think about growing in grace is I want you to think, turn over to Luke chapter 10. As you turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, you know, the question came to my mind, is it possible for a Christian to be so busy trying to do for God that we fail to grow in grace? Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. And the reason why that kind of came to mind, because as I began my walk with Christ, and maybe you have had similar experience, you kind of have this feeling of, I need to go out and do, right? I need to go out and be a stronger advocate, you know, for God. I need to go out and win arguments and share the Bible with as many people as I can and show them how right we are. And I want to do all these things and show everybody that I'm fully committed to God, and, you know, I want to do everything I can, you know, for him. And that was kind of the mindset. And we've talked about a few weeks ago, we were talking about that ignorance on fire, right? And that idea that when we first get out of the baptismal pool, anybody we come across, we're ready to baptize them, right? We're excited. We want to do all these great things, and I'm going to be, you know, put my cape on and be the super Christian that God wants me to be, and doing all these things for God. Can we really do anything for God? Right? And so if we get so caught up in the activity without understanding kind of why we do it, you know, I think about, again, many of you who are parents and spouses and good workers. Isn't it possible that we can get so caught up in doing, you know, for our spouse and for our children that we kind of lose sight of actually being with them? You know, I mean, I as a father and as a husband and a provider of our home, I have to go out and work all these long hours and make this good money so that my children have a wonderful lifestyle. And sometimes the kids just want to say, hey, you want to go play catch? Right? I mean, I just want to spend time with Dad. I don't want you always having to do things for me. And, you know, we think of growing in grace, and we think of how much more we can do. And sometimes we get kind of caught up. What's Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42 say? Very familiar passage. Somebody can read that for us. Okay, a very familiar passage. Was there anything that Martha was doing that was wrong? No, I mean, she really took the time and, you know, according to, you know, the culture in that time, she took on the responsibilities that she should take. You know, and many of us today, we take on responsibilities that God wants us to take on. You know, I gave you the example last week or a couple of weeks ago about this one pharma company, and I work in clinical trials. And working in data management, it's important that we not only bring the data in, but we clean it up and make it look nice and put a nice pretty bow on it for the FDA so they can approve it. And, you know, it's very easy, and I know I've been guilty of this, where I'm just taking this data in. Okay, this person's suffering from this adverse event, or they're taking this kind of medication, or whatever that situation is, to the point where it becomes like a numbing thing. They just become numbers. Until, you know, you start realizing, I worked once with a pediatric trial, and one of the common, what they call SAEs, or serious adverse events, is death. And so you're writing all these things down, you're reporting it, saying, yeah, for this one, they lived this long and before they died, and the drug proved to help them last 6 months longer. And, you know, you're looking at all these things, and you stop for a second. And for me, it was one of those eye-opening moments where it was, I'm so caught up in what I'm doing that I forget why I'm doing it. And as parents, as spouses, as workers, as Christians, we can't get so caught up in the action that we forget why we're doing it. That action can actually stop us from growing because we're caught up in church business without really being caught up in Christ. So if we want to grow, we have to get to the point where, yes, just like Martha, we need to be active. We need to be growing. But we can't forget why. And what Jesus pointed out says, you know, she's chosen that good part. She recognized what is still right there in front of us. We do everything by the power and grace of God, not of ourselves. You know, the fact that we're Christians is because of the grace of God, not because of what we do, but by the grace of God. We've been talking about that throughout. And to be clear, you know, a Christian does display good works. So I don't want us to walk away saying, well, I don't need to do anything because God did it all. A Christian displays good works. But not all good workers display Christianity. We can never forget why we're doing what we do. Okay? So, turn over to Matthew chapter 15. I just want to kind of touch on this point really quickly and we'll move on. Matthew chapter 15, somebody can read verse 8 for us. We never want to get into the trap of honoring with lips and drawing nigh with our mouths, but our heart is still far away. We have to remember that the heart comes first. The action comes after. Okay? And that's important for us to know because if we really want to grow, I heard a phrase, you know, just because you have a garage doesn't make you a mechanic. Right? Just because you go to church on Sunday morning doesn't make you a Christian. We have to be committed to God in heart first before we can do the action according to how he would find it pleasing. So, a little bit of a discussion. If grace is so complete, and for the last 11 weeks or so, we've been talking about how complete grace is, how do we grow in grace? If it's already so complete, how do we grow in grace? How do you plan on, or how have you grown in grace? We've kind of defined grace and we talked about it, and it's the gift of God, and you know, it's all God and none of us, but how do we grow in it? Acceptance. Acceptance, a greater acceptance. Yes, sir, I saw your hand over here. Focusing on Christ, yes. Or, I saw your hand up. I saw you. And I like how he says, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Again, going back to that first example, year one, just got married, happy, big glow on my face. Everybody in the church are looking at you like, yep, you guys just got married, newlyweds. And you would say right then and there, I love this woman with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you realize, you know, maybe some things happen in your marriage. And you draw closer. And you say, well, how can I draw closer if I already have all the alls? And we recognize that that keeps getting pushed. And we start to see more and more. And we recognize, now I do. Now, based on what I could at first, maybe I did love with all. But I recognize the all, there's more to it. And with God, it's definitely the case. The more we get to know about Him, the more we learn of Him, we're going to talk about that in a second, the more that all gets pushed. And we realize there's still more there. Yes, Brent? Absolutely. Yes, she said appreciation. And I love the fact that you said not only appreciation, but that motivates us to do even more, right? It's not that we're doing more so that we can get grace, but we do because we appreciate more, and it motivates us to give even more. And that's how we see ourselves growing, as we appreciate more. Yes. So we just kind of talked about grace doesn't really grow, right? Grace is complete already. But we grow in grace by going deeper in our understanding and reliance on God. We have a greater appreciation. We have a greater understanding. We learn more. And therefore, we are the ones growing. Not grace, but us. What grows more what grows the more you take away from it? Anybody heard that riddle before? What grows the more you take away from it? Anyone else heard that riddle before? One of those things, you got on like the Bazooka Joe, you know, things at the bottom. Right? And I would argue one other thing. The more we take away from ourselves, the more we allow God space to work in our lives, don't you think we grow? The more we remove ourselves out of the way, somebody mentioned that earlier, the more we stop focusing on ourselves, John even said in a different context, he must increase, and I must what? Decrease. I have to get out of the way. And, you know, I'll admit something to you when we start our classes, before we actually get started, you know, I like to have just a silent moment of prayer. And somewhere in that moment of prayer, you know, I try to communicate to God, God, help me to get myself out of the way, that whatever words are coming from my mouth are your words, that they may learn. And I try to take that approach, and I think we all need to take that approach whenever we speak with someone. You know, Jeff mentioned, you know, that idea of younger trying to win the argument. And sometimes we can get to the point where it's about us. I have to win this. But when we take ourselves away from it, when we allow God to increase in our own lives, we're going to find ourselves growing. The more we take away of ourselves, as you see here, the more we can actually grow. Second Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Let's turn over there really quickly. And while you're turning over there, I was thinking about, as I was preparing for the lesson, about how sometimes we can look at ourselves as degrees. I know this is something where I said, you know, I'm doing better. You ever have that moment where you're like, you know, there are some times when I feel like I'm doing better in Christ, and we start to kind of rate it. In fact, I kind of joked, bless you, I kind of joked with, you know, the high school class once. I said, if you had to give yourself, because, you know, they're very consumed with this part of it, if you had to give yourself a Christian grade, what would it be, right? And when we talked about what that grade meant, you know, how do you classify that? Do you say, you know, I used to be a 4 as a Christian, but now I'm a 7. I used to have a C in Christianity, now I'm somewhere around a B+. You know, how do you grade yourself? What standard do you use to actually grade yourself? And what we concluded, and I appreciate that the students came to this conclusion, was that God made it so we never have to. If God's an A, that's all we need to worry about. And the way they phrased it, and coming from the mouth of a student who really gets it and understands it, is that we no longer have to look at how well I'm doing. And I have to preface that very carefully. We don't have to grade ourselves or think of ourselves as, I'm a better Christian than this person. I'm a worse Christian. You know, even Paul said, I'm the chiefest. And so we know if Paul can be saved, then we still have some hope. But that everything belongs to Christ. The more I give of myself to him, the better I will be. Okay? Giving of ourselves makes us even better. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, 12, 9 and 10. Somebody have that? That kind of sums it up right there. And we can also read in Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5, the more Isaiah witnessed God, the more he recognized how undone he was. The only way to actually work through that is get myself out of the way. You know, there are things that I can do well around the house, but when it comes to things like plumbing, I'm going to call the person who can do it much better than I can. Because I'm not trying to have a swimming pool inside the house, right? We need to decrease so that he can increase. So how do we grow? The last few minutes, I want us to think about some things. Grace teaches. We want to grow. We have to be students of the word. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We need to take on a student perspective. You know, I enjoy teaching, and quite frankly, I think I probably get more when I teach because, you know, you're studying all the time and you have to study for the questions that might come up, not just for what you're working on yourself, right? So you find yourself taking that extra time to study a little bit more. But I never get to the point where I view myself as the teacher. I always want to take the approach of the student. What am I getting out of this? Sister Correa, she said, you know, yeah, you kind of stepped on my toes today. She said this a few weeks ago. And I said, well, before that, God stepped all over mine. Right? Because as I study and as I prepare for classes, you know, I see all that, you know, God is trying to show me, that he's trying to teach me. In 2005, July 23rd, 2005, I'm driving down to Fuquay Varina and had a one-on-one with a semi truck I lost. And I was going down there to present a lesson. I was going down there to preach. And one of the sisters came to me a few weeks later. She visited me in the hospital and she gave me a different perspective. She's like, you know what? God knows all. That lesson that you prepared so much for and that you were ready to give, it wasn't for those folks down there. That was for you. And I really appreciate that perspective because as I studied that lesson, I was preparing for that lesson, I learned so much from it. And sometimes the things that we are ready to give someone else are the things God is really ready to give us. I've never given that lesson. I kept it as just a reminder for myself. And I never will give that lesson. But it was just something that God says you always have to be in a learning mode. So grace teaches. Also Titus 2, 11 and 12. But then grace also obeys. Turn over to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Somebody have that? As Brenda said earlier, you know, it's that grace that motivates us. When we learn to appreciate what God has for us, and he says here, he who believes in me. And this is not just belief that he exists, right? We learn in Hebrews chapter 11 how, for without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is, that he exists. A lot of people believe that God exists, but also that he is a rewarder of them who diligently, who works at it, who puts effort into seeking him with a purpose. We understand the implication there is seeking him with that purpose of drawing closer to him. So when we talk about belief, it's more than just this mental ascension, but it's an active verb. And when you believe in him, the works that he does, what does it say? You will also do. You're going to be busy because you believe in him, because you recognize, because you appreciate what he has done. Grace causes us to obey. It teaches us, but it also causes us to obey. How many military folks do we have in here? Okay. So I think everybody can understand this, but I think the military folks will get a special appreciation for it. Eric Owens. Remember Eric? He came here a couple of years ago. He was sharing in a book once, So You Want to Be Happy is the name of the book. And he was talking about his moment in basic training and how he said, you know, they flew him in at night, probably because they didn't want him to see, you know, everything else going on around. They go through their whole thing, and this guy walks on the bus, and he yells and screams at him, and it was the drill instructor. And they go through this entire process of getting him in there and basically saying, you know, for the next number of weeks, you know, I own you. And they would wake up in the morning. He would come in and wake them up in the morning. They would go on these long runs. The drill instructor would be right there in front and behind, and he's the one that's telling them when to eat and when to sleep and when to all these different things, right? And as the new recruit, as the new person, what do you say? Sir, yes, sir, right? You're obeying because what? That's the authority. That's the drill instructor. And so Eric is explaining this story, and as he goes through it, he says, but then I came to a different realization. In order for him to wake me up at 5 a.m. or whatever, you know, hour that was, he had to already be awake. When they ran these long 5 mile, whatever, long runs, he would run to the front and lead them. He would go to the back and push those who were in the back. He would run in the middle to make sure they keep pace. He's the one that's in the front, back, and the middle. He's running more than 5 miles. So you may run 5 miles, but he's running longer because he has to be the one that's leading, that's encouraging, that's keeping the pace. He's the one that is, when it's time for everybody to turn into the barracks, Eric explains, he's the one that's making sure they're all in the barracks. And he said, I came to realize that he's giving up his time with his family. He's giving up his personal time. He's going through all this extra effort. He's there when I'm awake. He's there when I'm asleep. And he says, he's doing so much more to make sure that I'm ready. And he said, from that experience, Eric explains that he learned to obey, not because he was the authority, which he still was, but because he had a great appreciation for what all he did for me to get where I am. And I thought that was a great and powerful story, because when we wake up, it's not our alarm that wakes us up, right? It's God that wakes us up to hear the alarm. When we go down, God is still there. He's done all these things for us so that we can grow. He gave his very best. He sacrificed his very best, his son Jesus, for us so that we can grow. Yes, he is the authority. Yes, we should obey because he says, you know, get up, we should get up. If he says move, we should move. That is absolutely true. But have we grown to the point where it's not just because he's God, but because he's the loving Father? See, because he is, and Jesus is our Savior, but he's also our Lord. He's our Lord, but he's also our Savior. There's an understanding that we obey because he's our Lord. We obey our Lord. We appreciate because he's our Savior. And we recognize all that he's done. Our growth starts to move exponentially upward because we recognize who he is. As we grow in grace, I didn't hear the first bell, but I know it should have sounded by now. As we grow in grace, we must recognize that our growth is really clearing more space within ourselves so that God grows in us. Again, John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Growth requires a commitment. As we grow in grace, we must be committed to someone other than ourselves, and that is God. I appreciate the comment earlier that in the beginning or early on, I thought about me. But as I matured, I think more about God. That's really going to show if we're growing or not. As you go through this week, I want you to think about every situation you get in. Are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about God? Just practice it. It's an exercise when you're at work, when you're at home, when your spouse says something and you know you want to strangle them. Are you thinking about yourself? Some people laugh. Other ones are like, amen, right? Are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about God? And I'm not talking about what would Jesus do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about is your mind on God himself? Is your mind on the grace that God has provided for us? And just go through that exercise. Next week, when we come back, we're going to just chat. We're going to start our class just chatting a little bit about that. How often do you find yourself thinking about yourself? And how often do you find yourself thinking about God? And hopefully, beyond this class, next week is our last class. As we go on, we'll look at it and say, you know what? At the beginning of that class or week 12 of that class, I went through that exercise and I probably thought of myself 80% of the time. And I find myself now thinking about it 50% or 40%. Or I'm always thinking, you know, about God in these situations. And watch yourself grow, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for growth because of the grace that God has already provided. Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns. Next week, final week, grace and peace. Let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for this time together. We thank you as your children, as brothers and sisters to one another, that you have allowed us to study a portion of your word, and we pray that through it, we will grow in your word, that we will grow in appreciation, that we will grow in the knowledge of your son, Jesus. And that through that growth, Father, we will gain the wisdom, we'll gain the understanding and the wisdom to go and do those things that will be pleasing and acceptable to you, knowing that we can't do for you, but out of appreciation of what you've done for us, may we go enjoy serving you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We ask all things in his name. Amen. Thank you all.